Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I trust you all woke up to breakfast in bed, right? One last announcement before we get started. This is the last week to register for our new members class beginning next week. You can register on your yellow sheet here in your bulletin next to new members class. We will hold the courses. It will be a total of 4 weeks. We will skip Memorial Day weekend, but 4 weeks in total. And they will be held right after second service. We will provide lunch. Child care will also be provided. So if you have never gone through the process of becoming an actual member of Shepherd of the Hills, I would encourage you to do that. Again, this is the last week to register. You can do it on this yellow sheet and drop it in the offering plate, which has already come past. So you can put it in the church's mailbox outside of the church office. Well, with that, if you would open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Last week, we started a brand new series looking at this psalm, verse by verse, week by week, looking at all the truth, all the relational truth that David was so inspired to write all these years ago. Some 4,000 years ago, Psalm 23 was written, and it still has incredible application to our life today. And so I will ask you to open your Bible there to Psalm 23. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for moms. We thank you, Lord, for the incredible work they do, the sacrifice that they make day in and day out to rear up children. Your word says in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And Lord, that task falls to dads, but also to moms. And today we honor them. We honor them for all that they do. We ask, Lord, that as we now turn to your word, getting 7.5 hours of sleep per week, per night. Well, I know for some of you it might be per week, but according to the CDC, 7.5 hours of sleep a night. And I know a lot of us are thinking, that would be nice, right? Especially if you are a parent of young children or remember having young children. That's a goal, 7.5 hours of sleep a night. Well, it turns out that that's actually more important than we might have thought. You see, after only one day of not getting the amount of sleep required, your blood pressure actually goes up. After 2 days of being sleep deprived, not only is your blood pressure up, but your immune system is down. Your metabolism slows, and your core temperature actually drops. If you've ever noticed how you get cold when you're tired, well, that's why. It's the body's natural response to needing sleep. That's after just 2 days. If it goes any longer than that, you run the risk of actually becoming depressed. There was a study with more than 10,000 people involved that revealed insomniacs were 5 times more likely to become depressed than those who slept well. And what's even worse is that the depression caused by insomnia kept the person from sleeping. It's a vicious, vicious kind of a cycle. A lack of sleep has other effects as well. It causes forgetfulness. It's been linked to diabetes, hallucinations, paranoia, vision loss, mood changes, just to name a few. It can even make the person think differently. If you haven't gotten enough sleep, oftentimes the person will become somewhat accustomed to that and think, well, this must just be normal. Everything is going fine. That's what happened to one young man back in 1964. His name was Randy Gardner, and he set the world record for the longest time without any sleep. He went 11.5 days without sleep. At the end of it, he gave a press conference where he stood up proudly saying nothing was wrong and that he was fine. The doctor observing, however, had a bit different story. He recorded that Randy suffered hallucinations, mood swings, blurred vision, and on the list went. The point is, bad things can happen if we don't get enough rest. Your body simply was not designed to just go, 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 go all the time. It needs rest. It needs to be rejuvenated. You need to replenish the energy that you spend. You need to recoup. It turns out that God knew exactly what he was doing when he gave us a mandatory day of rest. We need that downtime physically. We also need it spiritually. That's right, just like your body can get tired, your soul can get tired. We get physically exhausted, we get spiritually exhausted too. And when that happens, likewise, we need to rest. You ever come in after a long, hard day at work and just sit down on the couch and go, oh, that feels so nice. It's nice to sit down and take a load off, isn't it? Well, spiritually, sometimes we need to do the same thing. We need to take a spiritual load off. And in verse 2, David describes that we have a God who makes us do that. He says in Psalm 23, verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You see, life can get spiritually tiring. We're always under some kind of spiritual attack. There's a battle waging. We're pouring out. We're fighting temptation. We're dealing with persecution and living in a world hostile to Christ. It can wear the believer down. That's what James had in mind when he said in James 5, is anyone among you suffering? Is anyone sick? He's referring to a believer who has been wounded in the spiritual battle. We need rest. The fallen world has the ability to wear us down, and when that happens, we need to recoup. We need a place to rejuvenate, and your shepherd, David says, provides just that. I like the way the Message Bible puts it. You let me catch my breath. You have a God who goes by the name of Jehovah Shalom. God is peace. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You have a shepherd who provides that. And he does it in a few ways that we're going to look at this morning. The first way is that your shepherd gives you rest by giving you safety. Look at verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Do you remember last week how we looked at verse 1? And it says, I shall not want. And we talked about how God will provide for all the needs of his children. Well, after a shepherd feeds his flock, he needs to find a pasture for the sheep to lie down and rest. But you know, sheep just won't lay down and rest anywhere. They need to feel safe. They need to feel secure. You see, sheep scare easily. They're very timid creatures, and it's the shepherd's job to provide that sense of security. There was a book written by shepherd turned pastor by the name of Philip Keller. And in it, he describes a time when a friend of his from the city came to visit his farm. And he talks about how the friend pulled up in a car, the door opened, and out jumped this Pekingese puppy. I mean, just this tiny little dog could have fit in your hand. And he says in his book, just one glimpse of the unexpected little dog was enough. He tells how the mere sight of that dog was enough to send more than 200 resting sheep to their feet and running for their lives. There was no threat. It hadn't barked. It hadn't made any aggressive move. The sheep were just that timid. That's what it means when we say someone or something is sheepish. It means they scare easily because sheep scare easily. It's interesting, though, because Keller explains that just like the dog's mere presence was enough to send them running to safety, his presence with his trusty rifle was enough to calm the entire flock. David said the same thing in verse 4. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Bible says we're a lot like sheep. We need that comforting presence of a shepherd in order to feel safe. life is full of Pekingese puppies, isn't it? You know what I mean, those surprises that just come out of nowhere. For good or bad, whether they're real or perceived, they just come out of left field and we don't see them coming. We're going around life, we're going through life, we're going through things normally. Everything is fine, predictable, and we look up and all of a sudden, something we never expect sends us into a panic mode. And if you've ever been to any kind of survival class, you'll know that the first thing they teach you, if you find yourself in trouble, is what? Don't panic, right? Because we don't make good decisions when we panic. There's a true story of a hiker who found himself lost on a very familiar trail, not too far from several businesses in the area, but a trail through a wooded area. He found himself lost, and so he panicked. He forgot all of his training, and rather than sitting in one spot and waiting for help, he started to wander. And as people tend to, he started walking in circles and eventually walked himself literally to death. When he was finally found, he was no more than 100 yards from the road. Sheep are the same way. When they're frightened, they panic and they go in every direction. It takes the calming presence of a shepherd to bring them back to peace. That's the presence your shepherd has. That's what David tells us in Psalm 4. He says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. It's amazing how the presence of someone stronger than us can make us feel safe. The other day, a thunderstorm came rolling through the area. And Owen, our five-year-old, woke up afraid and came down the steps, and we took him back to bed. But it reminded me how when I was his age, I was terrified of storms. I could not be by myself during a thunderstorm, but if my dad was there, it didn't matter how bad the storm or how loud the thunder, I felt safe. Just his presence was enough to calm me down. It made all the difference. That's the effect a shepherd has on his flock. No matter how bad the storm, no matter how scary the surprise, no matter how many Pekingese puppies jump out of the car in our life, you have a shepherd that will keep you safe so you can lie down and rest. Another way he gives us rest is your shepherd gives you sustenance. Look back to verse 2. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, sheep are funny creatures. Left to their own devices, they will usually make bad decisions that are adverse to their health and safety. They're not too smart under normal conditions. That was the case not too long ago for a few shepherds in the Middle East whose flocks had become intertwined. There was some kind of confusion and three flocks were jumbled together. Well, in the confusion, one of those sheep decided he was going to take a walk. And as sheep do, the others followed. And that sheep walked and walked and walked until he came to a cliff, and he walked himself right off the edge. And the others followed. By the time the shepherds were able to stop it, more than 400 sheep had walked off the cliff, a loss of $65,000. Gives a whole new perspective to Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. You see, if left to their own, the sheep will wander. And they'll especially wander if they're thirsty. The Middle East is a hot place. And to be a sheep covered in all of that wool, it takes a lot of water to keep them going. And so they get thirsty a lot. Well, if the shepherd isn't there to guide them to fresh water, the sheep will seek it out on their own. The only thing is, because they're so timid, they are afraid of the moving water of a river. They would rather drink from a stagnant, diseased pond than the clean, fresh water of a river. They will take anything to satisfy their thirst. But we have a thirst too. A never-ending thirst, the Bible teaches. And with that comes a desire to satisfy. One person once said that you have a God-sized hole in your heart, and only He can fill it. But the thing is, in our world, people try to fill that with everything else, and unfortunately, it never works. Did you know in America, every single year, more than $705 billion is spent on entertainment? That's more money than is spent on the entirety of the military, by the way, which is the most expensive military in the entire world. More money is spent on entertainment than education, than NASA, than transportation, housing development, and on that list goes as well. And you would think, with all that money being spent on entertainment, we'd be one of the happiest nations there is. The truth is, we're not. If you look at studies, we're not the happiest, not the second, not the third, but rather we rank 13 on the scale of happy nations. Reminds me a little bit of what God told Jeremiah. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and chosen for themselves broken pots that can hold no water. The world has this idea that if I just get fill in the blank, I'll be happy. If I just get that job, that home, that career, if I just get the girl or the guy, depending on your case, if I just have that, if I'm more popular, if I get promoted, if I had more money, then everything would be okay. But what everyone finds out is that that is an illusion. It's like a mirage in the desert. It looks satisfying. It looks like something to go after. But the closer and closer you get to it, and finally when you arrive, all you come up with is sand. There was a famous tennis player by the name of Boris Becker who was so depressed he tried to commit suicide despite incredible success in his sport. And he writes, I had won Wimbledon twice before, once as the youngest player. I was rich. I had all the material possessions I needed. It's the age-old song of movie stars and pop stars who commit suicide. They have everything and yet are so unhappy. He writes, I never had inner peace. The world cannot sustain. But you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So let me ask you a question. What do you hunger and thirst for? What drives you? What do you seek to fill that hole that all of us naturally have? What is it that you are looking for in life to satisfy? Let me just suggest that if it is anything other than a saving relationship with Yahweh the Shepherd through His Son, Jesus Christ, it can't satisfy. There's nothing in this world that will quench that thirst. It's like what Jesus told to the woman at the well in John 4. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. A stagnant pond has no sustenance. But your shepherd knows where sustenance is. He knows where the best pools are to drink from. The clearest, the calmest, the cleanest, the most refreshing. And what's more, He can take you there. That's why He followed up that statement with the woman at the well by saying, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. One author called it refreshment and serenity for the soul. Your shepherd knows where to lead you to satisfy that need, the way that nothing else can. And He says He'll lead you there. Psalm 48 says, for this is our God, He will be your guide. A few years ago, we moved to a new town in Ohio. And as it is, any time you move, you really don't know where anywhere is. And so for the first couple of months, we didn't get out very much. We had no idea what to go do in this town, and so we just kind of stayed home. Well, one of the locals came to me and asked if we had found Don's Diner yet. And I said, Don's Diner? No, I'm not familiar with Don's Diner. I don't really know where that is. And he said, I promise you have driven by it 100 times. You just didn't know it. You need to find Don's Diner because they have the best food in town. So we went home and I told Melissa and we said, okay, we'll look for Don's Diner. And sure enough, we found it. It was right on Main Street. It was a building we had walked by and driven by 100 times. The only thing is, it looked kind of run down. It was this hole-in-the-wall place, not even really a sign, just an open on the door, and that was it. It didn't look like a place you would go for a meal, but we went inside. And what we found was a very clean restaurant, first of all, a Christian man who ran it, and the best cheeseburger you have ever had. There is no way we would have found that on our own. We needed a guide. We needed someone to lead us and show us the way. You have a shepherd, David says, who will take you to the best there is. So far, to give you rest, your shepherd has given safety and given sustenance. But now, he needs to take something away, specifically control. Your shepherd will take control in order to give you rest. Look back at our verse for this morning. Notice how David says, he makes me lie down and he leads me beside still waters. It's the idea that God's got it and everything will be okay. A few years back, I had to have my wisdom teeth pulled out. And I will just tell you that it was decided for the safety of everyone involved that I ought to be put under. I am not a good dentist patient. They asked me, do you want a local anesthetic or do you want to be knocked out? And Melissa didn't even let me answer. She said, knock him out because he won't sit still. And so they did. Well, after I came to, we went to the van. She drove me home. It was December or January. It was a very cold month. And we walked into the house. Now, I'm still under the effects of the drugs very heavily, barely walking, but I got it in my mind that now was the time I needed to build a fire in the wood stove. And so I made my way to the wood stove, and I got out the wood, and I got out the torch, and she stopped me. She said, no. And she took control and led me to the couch and made me lie down and rest. Sometimes the only way we're going to rest is if someone else takes over and makes us. Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are the meek. And it's really unfortunate because that gets misunderstood a lot because meekness is not weakness. That's not what that word means. It means power controlled and usually by someone else. Think of a person riding a horse and how much power is in that horse. But it is all controlled and then yielded to the rider through the reins. Well, I don't know about you, but from time to time, I need my shepherd to take the reins. I need him to take control. I need him to take the lead and remind me and sometimes make me lie down and rest. Life can get real busy. I know. Between work and school and a family and kids and commitments and deadlines and this and that and the other and schedules, life gets busy. And a lot of people don't have time to rest their bodies properly. 7.5 hours is a dream for most people, let alone time to rest their soul. I knew a farmer in Ohio who told me one time that every single time he decided to skip church and work on the farm, something would break. And usually it cost him thousands of dollars without fail. He would give you every example, and it was every time he'd skip church. And I'll never forget, he told me, it was like God telling him, you need to rest. God said in Exodus 33, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. The world is an exhausting place for a believer. Everywhere we turn, there's a spiritual battle going on. We're fighting to hold a line, and you know what? It zaps our strength. And just like your body gets tired when it's used too much, your soul gets tired as well. It needs rest. And you have a shepherd that provides it. He gives you safety so that you can lie down and relax in the first place. He gives you sustenance to replenish what you have lost. And he takes control to make it possible to step back. David writes, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You have Jehovah Shalom. God is your peace and rest. Rest in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can rest in you, that you do provide the safety and the sustenance, and you do take over for us when life just gets to be too much. We thank you, Lord, that you understand how tiring and exhausting and how difficult it can sometimes be spiritually to go through the world that we live in. We thank you, Lord, that you not only knew it, but foresaw it and saw and designed and promised a solution to it, that we can find rest in you, that you will lead us to rest. You will provide sustenance. You will take control when we need it. We thank you so much. Let us enjoy that part of you, Father. Let us communicate that to those who need to hear it. There are so many of your children, Lord, that are just exhausted and they need rest. We ask that you would draw them to you. Provide that rest. In Jesus' name, amen.